we present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from the Holyhead and Anglesey Mail, read by Peter Donaldson.
Ogwen Valley Mountain Rescue Team warns climbers to use the right equipment after a man who fell 30 feet was not wearing a helmet. The man fractured his knee.
So thanks to David Pearce of Wales for that. Let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Francis Ween and Mira Sill. And facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Jeremy Hardy. Francis, where was the sea air slightly less chilly after a freeze lasting 22 years?
Oh, it's Grocer Heath and the grocer's daughter. They went down to Bournemouth, where William Hague wanted to show what a sort of young and hip and happening party this was. So he wheeled out all these geriatrics to snooze in armchairs around the stage to encourage young people to join. He had a slogan up, something like listening, learning, leading, I think, behind the stage. Not waving, but drowning. But it was actually like the Night of the Living Dead, and all these Hammer horror figures you'd quite forgotten about suddenly returned from the grave and started beating one another up. Kenneth Clark, I think, attacked Norman Lamont, who attacked Michael Heseltine, who attacked Margaret Thatcher, who attacked Ted Heath. Well, she didn't attack him, she just sat in front of him and ignored him. And Ted Heath, I think, then attacked William Hague, who said, go back to your constituencies and prepare for bed. I think.
Anne Widdecombe was very good, though. She was attacking the Labour government over the lack of manacles in delivery rooms in hospitals.
Well, she did a sort of rap routine, didn't she, Anne Widdecombe? She spoke without her notes and not sitting on a chair and decided to just walk about the stage going, yo, like that. MC Anna. It was quite impressive.
It was terrifying. I was there.
Yeah. It seems a shallow observation, but the Tory conference are not an attractive lot, are they? I mean, if all those people were born in the same village, you'd blame pollution, wouldn't you?
Who they are, apparently. They did some survey which sort of discovered that most of the population don't know who the Tory cabinet are.
They somehow get by without knowing of the existence of Francis Maud.
Yes.
Incredible, isn't it?
That kind of it's an easy mistake to make. Sometimes I forget that William Hague is the leader of a political party. Sometimes I used to think Margaret Thatcher was a woman, but, you know, I'm cured of that now.
The question referred to what was said to be the first words exchanged after 22 years of silence by Mrs. Thatcher with Edward Heath. Thatcher and Heath were said to have had a discussion on the relative comfort of their IKEA chairs. So obviously they had piles to talk about. Mira, welcome to the news quiz.
Thank you.
Whose Chinese excursion has been accused of taking the Michael?
Oh, well, obviously this is our great leader, Tony, who's on his China jaunt. And he's been criticised for not taking up the issue of human rights and just sucking up, basically. But he's actually doing quite well. Apparently, the Beijing Youth magazine have voted him the sexiest man in the world. It's true. He's on the front cover as a pin-up because they like his third-way policy. Don't know what the first two were. I don't think anybody does. And his commitment to family life. So there he is, pin-up on the front cover.
Did you see that a lot of human rights organisations complained that there was no mention of the suppression of dissidents and the absence of any opposition. But the Chinese quite reasonably said that it's none of their business how Blair chose to run the Labour Party.
Tony Blair was forced to deny this week that the sole purpose of his trip to China was to overshadow the Tory conference, something he went on to prove by appointing Michael Heseltine to a new Sino-British forum. The Prime Minister admitted having difficulty in finding evidence of the third way on his visit, though he had met the 27th Wang and the 453rd Ming. Back at home, a survey this week indicated that the public trusted the cereal manufacturers Kellogg's twice as much as Mr. Blair. The Prime Minister's advisers have refused to comment on the news, though a few hours later, Tony the Tiger was found lying in the gutter with Alistair Campbell's boot marks on him. 2 points there. Jeremy, who's been showing interest in the world economy?
Interest rates are going down. Is that right?
Mm.
Interest rates are going down because it was a bad idea keeping them up in the first place. And it's all Gordon Brown's fault for handing over responsibility to the Bank of England. But they've reduced them now by 0.25%. Too late to stop the remaining industries in the country completely collapsing. I think we still produce Kendall mint cake here, but I'm not sure. But everything else has gone to the wall. But Francis Moore did a woeful job. I mean, he's a sitting duck now, Brown. And Francis Moore called him culpability, Brown. I mean, you'd lose the will to live in the middle of thinking of that, wouldn't you? If you were a normal person, they just did this sort of pun-strewn attack on him. It was all like, Gordon Bennett, Mr. Brown Trousers. Not so much Chancellor as last Chancellonian.
The world is heading for its worst financial crisis since 1929, but this year the bankers are queuing up on the top floor of skyscrapers trying to throw Gordon Brown off. Alan, listen to this. You Spin Me Round by Dead or Alive. Alan, which of the Premier's pressmen was thought to fit the bill?
This is not the thing where Bill Clinton said he would like to have Alastair Campbell.
Allegedly.
And yeah. Alastair Campbell said, no, I am Mandelson.
It's because Ali Campbell used to write for Dirty Magazines, and so Clinton thought that would be quite raunchy. He used to write all this stuff like the quavering news editor bent before the vast and dominant spin doctor and things like that. Clinton thought, why is it that Mike McCurry, my press spokesman, can't cover my shenanigans in the Oval Office? And thought, well, I should get Ali Campbell because he manages to cover up all Tony Blair scandals, because he doesn't realise that the words Tony Blair and sex scandal never occur in the same newspaper. And if there was a video evidence of Tony Blair having had a bath without his clothes on, no one would believe it.
Yeah, but they think he's sexy in Beijing. Yeah. He was a pin-up. Mind you, page 3 was a picture of a tractor, so...
2 points to someone. President Clinton is said to have offered a job to Tony Blair's press officer, Alistair Campbell, in an anonymous story leaked to the press by probably Alistair Campbell. Mr. Campbell is best known for referring to stories about Blair's relationship with Rupert Murdoch as crap. It's a word he wouldn't be allowed to say on American television, along with another word he famously used that rhymes with merchant banker and means William Hague. Scores at the end of round one are everybody 4 points. And we start round two with a clipping from the Essex Chronicle.
Traffic officers were alerted after what appeared to be a motorcycle minus its rider was seen lying on a grass verge on the A12. But they discovered that it was, in fact, a large inflatable parrot.
Thanks to Steve Blackburn of Witham for that. Francis, who didn't keep mum about a true blue toff?
Oh, it's my old sparring partner, Lord Wyatt of Weevil. Of Weeford. Who used to get very cross if anyone else published things said at his dinner table, has now done the dirty and printed his diaries, posthumously. Amazing revelations. The Queen Mother likes a drink. The Queen Mother is sort of quite right-wing conservative. Margaret Thatcher, apparently, was quite a right-wing conservative. He used to ring Thatcher at 7:30 every morning to tell her how to run the country, and she took his calls.
Wasn't he sort of obsessed with her? Wasn't he sort of in love with her?
He thought she had lovely legs, certainly. He mentions that in his autobiography, but he says he's in love with her platonically because he also admires Dennis and he wouldn't want to do anything without sex.
Palace were at pains to point out that when the Queen Mum told Wyatt in 1974 that she backed a white Rhodesia, she meant the one running in the 4:30 at Chepstow. 2 points to Francis. Mira, where will all newspeak be double plus good from now on?
The BBC has decided to revamp and realign their news services. So, as they always do when they're saying they're streamlining things, they commission a very expensive survey costing £200,000 to find out that people don't like blue chairs or long words. They want to concentrate on having a family of newsreaders, you know, sort of Auntie Jill Dando and Uncle Tressa. And I also want to take out the really difficult areas like finance and business from the lunchtime news and the breakfast news, because very stupid people watch those, i.e. people that don't have jobs and housewives, and they wouldn't understand it.
How about focus groups? And said, what would you like to see in news programmes? And the focus group said, well, I suppose news, really.
But not with two big words.
This is what they're going to do, and it's going to be transforming. They're going to have 6 o'clock news and 9 o'clock news. People like Michael Burke will read it. I mean, we won't recognise it.
The BBC News chief executive Tony Hall has announced yet another revamp of the corporation's news coverage in an attempt to give it a warmer, more approachable feel, rather like The Road to Hell. BBC News also hit the headlines this week when a Virgin representative was forced to apologise after Richard Branson used the F-word twice to a Radio 5 interviewer. The representative went on to say that, bearing in mind that the interviewer in question was Andrew Neil, Mr. Branson had been remarkably self-restrained. Jeremy, your piece of music. Jeremy, who scored as effortlessly as usual, then touched down with a crashing thud?
Will Carling has a young baby, so he's not been getting much sleep recently. And he's just left all these rather tragic, hapless bints that fall for him, and he just gets bored and just onto the next one like a rat up a film star. And there he goes. And his testimonial's been cancelled, which is no great loss to him because he's vastly rich because he writes all these books about business. And they've said this is terrible because, you know, the fact that he's a dysfunctional public school oaf has got nothing to do with the fact that he's a rugby player, whereas I beg to differ. I've never liked him since that corn advert. Never liked him. There he was, posturing over his veggie spag bowl, pretending to be the new man, and the look of agony on his face. You know he was thinking, can't I just bear me arse out of a coach window?
Rumours that there were poor ticket sales for his show An Evening with Will Carling grew after a couple of theatres announced that they were going to book An Evening with Slobodan Milosevic instead. Alan, what pill dares not speak its name?
This is the shiniest thing, isn't it? I mean, yeah. Something else going to drain the National Health Service. I think it probably started with Viagra. Men wanted to go into chemist shops and ask for Viagra, but couldn't actually bring themselves to do it. So they said, they went back into the doctor's surgery and say, I can't actually ask for Viagra, but can you prescribe anything that will help me ask for it? And they got on to the drug companies, and the drug companies who were never slow to make millions of pounds. Last week's bill was about being fat, wasn't it? And the one before was about being limp. So if you're limp, fat and shy, the drug company can get immensely rich. It rather depends on the order in which you're limp, fat and shy.
The new shyness pill is called Seroxat, actually, if you ever need it.
It is Seroxat. It is. No, I can tell you, it's serotonin, and it's a serotonin uptake inhibitor. They tested on rats and found they made rats less shy. How you would discover whether a rat is shy or not?
Yes, the new shyness pill Seroxat is available for the first time this week. It promises to transform the lives of those previously ignored and unnoticed by society, even those who aren't member of the Shadow Cabinet. At the end of round two, the scores are still everybody equal on 8 points. And we start round three with some advice from Surrey County Council's Environmental Department.
Legislation governing the disposal of waste electrical and electronic equipment, WEEE, is proposed to be in place within several years. Businesses will have to recycle and reuse their WEE rather than dispose of it.
Thanks to Dave Briggs of Thames Ditton for that. We start round three with a question for Francis. Whose new gold blend has got the critics coughing and spluttering?
Yes, the critics. It's not Fergie's chat show.
No,
it's
no, that's later.
Chris Evans.
The gold blend coffee ad.
Well, yes, almost.
I know what it is.
What is it?
Benson and Hedges have finally recognised the link between coffee and intercourse. Inasmuch as coffee is the pretext and fags are the real reason that you go through it. And so Benson and Hedges are bringing out a combined coffee, fags and Viagra package.
So they're actually going to call it Benson Hedges Coffee?
Mm, and there'll be a government health warning saying this can make you a bit jittery. People in this country are so wet about coffee, though, aren't they? I mean, you talk to English people and you say, do you want a coffee? And they say, oh, I won't have one now, dear. If I have one now, I'll be awake all day.
The new coffee will be launched with a series of gold blend style adverts, with viewers forced to wonder whether the coffee couple will manage to get together before one of them dies. Mira, listen to this music.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind.
Which former royal proved that sky is the limit?
Mm-hmm. This must be Fergie's chat show, which was launched this week on Sky. Well, actually, I should say Surviving Sarah, yeah. Because that's what it was about. Like, you know, how I've survived life, because I've had a really hard life, because I've got ginger hair and a big bum. But no, shouldn't be cruel. She tried her best. But I actually saw it. I was one of the 10,000 people in the whole country that saw that on Monday morning. Apparently, the 1979 repeats of One Man and His Dog on UK Gold got more. morning. And the programme was about faith. And they had various people on. They had a vicar, like you do. And they had Eileen Drury on, who was the woman that led England to their great victory in the World Cup.
She said that Hitler had come back as a starving child in Africa.
That's right.
And that was his punishment. And I thought, you know, buggered save the children fund, isn't it? and Fergie actually did say, yeah, absolutely.
Yes, yeah, she did.
Good heavens, you know.
You have to scan the pictures of the appeal programmes now, looking for a little white, greasy-haired, mustachioed African kid.
Leading thousands of other kids. When they get to the Sudeten land, you've got to begin to worry.
The show was described as shoddy, tacky, and nothing more than filler. Executives at Sky One said it makes a change for one of their programmes to get such a glowing review. Alan, why did Good Neighbours Becoming Great Enemies border on the ridiculous?
This is about the Australian Good Neighbours?
No.
We know. This is a land dispute between two neighbours. This has gone on for years and over a tiny strip of land. Well, I mean, the guy says it's about 9 inches, but you know men.
It's the most costly and pointless squabble over a scrap of useless land since the Falklands War.
News that these men had wasted fortunes on a piece of scrub wasteland that no one will ever visit brought not just howls of condemnation from their friends and relatives, but a job offer from the Millennium Dome Commission. The dispute will be settled using an ancient piece of British law known as hedge and ditch, which is also the way Will Carling resolves disputes with his girlfriends. The exciting scores at the end of round three are Alan and Jeremy, having pulled ahead, have suddenly been caught up by Francis and Mira, and all sides have 12 points. And before we begin the final round, here's a clipping from the News of the World.
A deaf man, Henrik Bengtsson, tried to chop off his wife's fingers with a bread knife because she nagged him in sign language. Henrik, now in jail, said, I'd had enough. I would close my eyes, but the moment I opened them, she would start off again.
Thanks to David Buckley of North London. Francis, listen to this.
Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the Dance City, and I lead you all, wherever you may be, and I lead you all in the Dance City.
Francis, whose claims of unfair treatment are being flatly denied?
I think it's John Reed. Yes. The chap? Down at the High Court. It's been all go at the High Court this week. Bruce Springsteen was in Court 12 or somewhere, and then just down the corridor, Michael Flatley was suing this chap, John Reed, the impresario or manager or whatever you call him. And there was an adjournment on Wednesday morning, I think it was, when they came out into the corridor. And, well, Flatley, I think, or his counsel, suggested settling it by fisticuffs there and then. And since Reed is about 4'6", and Flatley was a boxer before he invented this mysterious form of dancing where you stand rather like Prince Philip with your hands behind your back and then just kick your legs in the air, rather like John Hartson, they decided they would go back in and fight it out with Bruce Springsteen instead.
The Irish dancer Michael Flatley is being super... He's not Irish, is he?
He's American.
From Chicago.
Yeah.
Pretend Irish dancer Michael Flatley has been sued by former manager John Reed for wrongful dismissal to the tune of £10 million. Flatley is counter-suing Reed to the tune of Oh Danny Boy. Right, Mira, which wrongdoers were deposited in the dock by a doggy dropping?
Oh, I remember this vaguely. A burglar? Somebody burgled a house, and the reason he was caught is not that the dog savaged him, but that he trod in a deposit, shall we say, and left a perfect print of his trainer. And they traced him. It's a very sort of gentle PC way of catching a burglar. No violence. No, just caught by a bit of karmic dog crap. I also think it gives hope to all those little yappy dogs that nobody ever takes seriously as guard dogs. They say, no, Rover's great, you know. He's blind, he's lame, but he's got chronic diarrhoea. He'll be great. Hire him.
Yes, thieves broke into a house in Quarry Bank in the West Midlands, scaring the owner's pet Yorkshire Terrier, Minty, so much that he deposited the doggy equivalent of a Gordon Brown economic measure on the patio. On his way out, one of the burglars unwittingly stepped in what was thought to be the biggest mess made by any Yorkshire Terrier since David Batty tried to score a penalty against Argentina. Police studied the footprint and were quick to act. They immediately arrested everybody in the area called Nike Air Max. Minty's owner, Pauline Webb, said he turned out to be a much better guard dog than a Rottweiler would have been, which is not surprising since fingerprint evidence tends to get chewed off along with the rest of your arm. 2 points to Mira. Jeremy, who's putting an end to whining about wrinkles?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. You do.
Do I? I know.
Think free radicals. It's about claret.
Claret.
And if you drink it, your face goes smooth.
I know this. If you drink claret, your face goes smooth.
Absolutely.
At least it looks smooth. It goes smooth because you're lying face down on the ground.
You want to try it on your scrotum. It comes out like a billiard ball.
You obviously have a special decanter for that, don't you?
Yeah. We ever have a special stopper anyway. It's just this red wine has these antioxidants in it, which removes the free radicals, which age our skin.
Mira told me that you put hemorrhoid cream on your wrinkles to get rid of them, didn't you, Mira?
Not me personally.
You did tell me that.
No, I did. Models
I mean,
do.
One does.
That's what models use for
I think
a shoot.
It's just something you say at
night.
The chemist. I'd like a tube of hemorrhoid cream for my eyes. I don't think anybody actually puts it on.
It does because it shrinks the skin.
Made from shark's liver oil, you know, hemorrhoid cream. They tried doing shark's liver as a sort of Jewish starter, and it was too greasy. So they decided, wow, this is doing me no good at all. I might as well just. And then they did. That's how
Jasmine's
born.
I saw a tube of hemorrhoid cream. And it said anusal. I didn't realise it was anusal. Strange, isn't it?
There's another one called pelusmia, which is, I always thought was pronounced pilusmia.
It is.
There's another one called grapes be gone. That's very funny. Popular.
French scientists say that the chemicals found in red wine can instantly remove troublesome free radicals, which is why Tony Blair has sent Ken Livingstone 3 cases of Mouton Rothschild 64. But there are warnings that the treatment could have serious side effects. These were confirmed when Joan Collins' face was found to be 17 times over the drink drive limit. Alan, which Caribbean tourist took to surfing in cold blood?
Apparently Darwin got it wrong when he arrived on these various islands with the Galapagos turtles and things. He'd assumed they were indigenous species and hadn't come from anywhere else. But they had, because they could all swim. And the Caribbean is full of lizards from different islands that came on surf waves. They said, wow, terrific morning, surf's up. And all these little lizards got on their little boards, and they started in places like St. Kitts and ended up in Bermuda. It's why the Tories have the conference at Bournemouth. They sort of hope something new will come in on the tide. No, look, a leader. No, just another jellyfish. Oh.
A group of surfing lizards have helped solve the puzzle of how the West Indies became colonized by such a wide range of species. Scientists say this is the first example of a reptile skimming the ocean surface since Robert Maxwell hit the Mediterranean. Before we reveal the final scores, let us see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
Simon, as it happens, this is a report from the Agence France-Presse, carried on the foreign page of the Daily Telegraph. Elderly people in eastern Ukraine who have not received pension payments for 5 months have been offered free coffins as an alternative.
Mira.
This is from North Yorkshire's Champion Shopper, sent in by Mrs. M.R. Cobbett. Good home needed for one-year-old border collie, male due to unforeseen circumstances.
Jeremy.
This was actually sent to me by the old deputy headmaster of my school, John McLaughlin, because I went to Farnham Boys Grammar School for Girls. And it says, indecent exposure on common. A man was discovered indecently exposing himself in a bush on Frensham Common by two women horse riders at around 10:30 a.m. on Saturday morning. He was discovered lying on the ground completely naked, holding a red hardback book in one hand. One of the women, a stable hand, described the man as aged 20 to 30. Now, I should emphasise stable hand there. Well, it's the only cutting I've bought, and it's the only chance you have to laugh at it. And I have to say, audience, you've blown it rather badly.
Alan, I have a piece from the foreign news page of Thursday's Times, Simon. There's an emergency switchboard operator in the French Alps was understandably sceptical when he received a call at the weekend from a man on a mobile telephone who said that he was hanging off a cliff by his fingernails and would like to be rescued quickly. If you're hanging off a cliff, how have you dialed this number? The operator asked curtly, whereupon the man screamed, I have pressed the redial button with my nose. Extraordinary.
Stable hand. Oh, don't pretend you understand it now.
Now let's look at the final score, which proved that after a thrilling seesaw game, both sides are equal with 16 points each. Congratulations. And we leave you with an advertisement from a nautical supplies catalogue sent in by N.E. Ledbetter of Salisbury.
Swedish handy hooker saves hours of tiresome manoeuvring. Steadily made, ready for attachment to your required length of pole.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Francis Wheen, Jeremy Hardy and Mira Sial. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news is read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson and George Poles. And the producer was John Roth.